It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Just a few hours ago, I was handed an editorial cut out of USA Today from, just a few days back. Hypocrisy and gay marriage, the institution of marriage, so sacred, so pure, so perfect, is in jeopardy because gay men and lesbians want in on the act. How silly, how arbitrary, how disconnected from the real world. Actually, it's this editorial that is silly, arbitrary, disconnected from the real world. And I'm going to respond to it today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or you can weigh in on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. I want to ask you a specific question, though. You can weigh in on Facebook or you can call in. In your church, I'm assuming that right now I'm talking to people who are church-going believers. In your church, would you say that there is a strong emphasis put on marriage? Would you say that it's one of the top subjects that you hear about in your church, the importance of marriage, the importance of building husband-wife relationships, the importance of staying together? Do you ever hear sermons on divorce? 866-34-TRUTH. Do you hear sermons on divorce? And you're not for it, but the wrongness of no-fault divorce and the importance of preserving marriage. Do you feel that with young people, there's an emphasis on sexual purity? With young people, there's an emphasis on keeping oneself pure until wedlock. Do you feel maybe you've got teenagers in the church? Do you feel these things are talked about? Do you feel they're stressed? Or do you feel to the contrary? No, we're missing the boat on that. I mean, we hear about doctrinal things. We hear about the building fund. We hear about a new social program or whatever it is, or some other teaching or a prophecy, but we almost never hear stuff about marriage and family, and we really need to. What's your take? You can tell me what kind of church you go to. You don't have to give the name of it. But in your home church, are you hearing on a regular basis the importance of marriage, developing marital relationships, husband, wives, family, young people hearing messages about sexual purity? Yes or no? 866-34-TRUTH. Let me begin to read this editorial. It is by Kirsten Powers. She is a freelance writer and political analyst on Fox News. She served in the Clinton administration from 93 to 98 and has worked in New York State and city politics. She says the issue of same-sex marriage has receded into the background during this past election cycle, mostly because voters are overwhelmed by the state of the economy. But the recent spate of gay teen suicides has thrust the issue of anti-gay bigotry back into the spotlight. Now, I got to take issue with that opening paragraph for a few different reasons. Number one, to use the term anti-gay bigotry has already set the tone. In other words, if you don't think that a man should marry a man, or if you don't think that it's best for a child to be adopted into a home with two men or two women as the household leaders, as the quote married couple, then you're an anti-gay bigot. If you don't want gay activist agenda taught in the schools, you're an anti-gay bigot. So just the way this is phrased right off the bat is very misleading and is setting a certain tone. More importantly, the issue of same-sex marriage has not receded into the background as much as she might think that it has. I just got a note from one national leader who reminded us that on Election Day in Maine, 22 legislators who voted for same-sex marriage were replaced by candidates who support marriage between one man and one woman. And in Iowa, the three judges that forced same-sex marriage on the people of Iowa lost their positions. Now, she'll make reference to this Iowa situation in a moment. But, of course, economy was the big issue, and, of course, outrage against the direction of the government was a big issue. But, bottom line, this question of same-sex marriage has not receded that much. And in point of fact, if there were gay activists that were pushing for same-sex marriage ballots in different states, it would be on people's minds a lot more. Now, she says, even some Christian leaders are rethinking their approach to this issue. Exodus International, a Christian activist ex-gay group, has ex-gay in quotes, as if there is no such thing. Exodus International, the Christian activist ex-gay group, pulled its sponsorship of the annual Day of Truth, where high school students are encouraged to express their disapproval of homosexuality. Oh, almost every word in this paragraph is false. First, I work with Exodus International. I'm friends with their leadership. They're not an activist ex-gay group. They are a network of ministries helping people with unwanted same-sex attraction. And there are plenty of ex-gays, plenty of people who have come out of homosexuality by the grace and power of God. Secondly, the Day of Truth is not a day where high school students are encouraged to express their disapproval of homosexuality. The Day of Truth is an answer to the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network's Day of Silence, which promotes gay activism in the schools one day a year. Often it's a whole week of that to raise awareness about gay and lesbian issues. And the Day of Truth was started by the Alliance Defense Fund and then picked up by Exodus simply to have an alternate day, the day after, the day before, the Day of Silence, and to say, can we talk about the issues? Can we, in a civil and Christian spirit, talk about the issues? So, I mean, the fact that people read this and think it's true is frustrating. Thankfully, I have a radio show where I can vent in a godly way. Why did it take, she asked, multiple suicides to make a Christian group realize that heaping condemnation and judgment on others is not its job? A reading of any of the Gospels would teach you that in 2 minutes. Exodus never did that. There are various reasons why Exodus stepped back from Day of Truth. Some could be budgetary, some comes to be other reasons. But their main emphasis is always helping people with unwanted same-sex attractions and helping them through the gospel. They never heap condemnation on anybody. And the Day of Truth does not heap condemnation on anybody. And Exodus' decision to do this was long before the gay suicides. And the question I asked in a town hall article a few weeks back is, why do we only hear about the kids who are killing themselves over gay-related issues, which should concern all of us, should break all of our hearts, should burden all of us, for sure. No argument about that. But if there are 80 to 100 kids killing themselves every week, why aren't we hearing about the rest of them? She then says, let's remember Satan wasn't kicked out of heaven for being gay. It was pride. The people who really ticked off Jesus were the Pharisees, who were self-righteous and hypocritical, which could fairly describe many of today's Christians. So suddenly, this whole thing has shifted, where a Christian who, out of conviction, love for God, love for people, says same-sex marriage is wrong. Now, subtly in the rear, not so subtly in the reader's minds here, they are being associated with Satan and the Pharisees and people being self-righteous. Oh. Okay, I'm going to continue with this editorial in a minute, but I'm going to take some calls along the way. 866-34-TRUTH, in your home church, and you'll see why I'm asking this question as I read on in the editorial. In your home church, are you hearing on a regular basis messages teaching about marriage, about family? Let me hear from a few of you. We'll start with Laurie in Raleigh. Are you still there, Laurie? Hello? No, we lost Laurie. Okay, I will come back to phones in a moment. The editorial continues, when novelist Anne Rice declared this year that she was quitting Christianity, though remaining dedicated to Christ, in part because she refused to be anti-gay, it struck a nerve with many Christians. Well, you know, this is her own life that's between her and God, okay? And when I read about it some time back, it seemed to me that she really needed to meet with Jesus in a profound, life-changing way as opposed to be identified with Christianity. That could have been the bigger problem from day one, Christianity versus without really knowing Jesus. But that's between her and God ultimately. But the perception that standing up for what's right is, quote, anti-gay, the perception that saying marriage is the union of a man and a woman is being anti-gay, the perception of saying, look, I don't want the queering of elementary education, that you are now being anti-gay. The fact that you say God has a better way. Listen, if you say Jesus can change people, if you say I know someone that used to be gay, you are now anti-gay. You are hate-filled, intolerant bigot. As I've said many times, the people calling for tolerance have become the most intolerant. The people calling for inclusivity have become the most exclusive. And the people who say they believe in diversity only tolerate their own views. And I've asked folks, hey, well, hang on, it seems that you're being very hate-filled, bigoted towards us when I've had all kinds of anger and malicious stuff said towards me. And I was explained, no, we're not, because we're right. See, to be hateful to the KKK or Hitler is a good thing. So our bigotry is justified, but your stance for biblical principles is satanic, horrific, pharisaical, or worse. I'm going to continue with this editorial and then take your calls. 866-34-TRUTH. In your home church, would you say you hear a lot about marriage? When's the last time you heard a sermon about divorce? We'll talk about it. I am responding with passion to a really bad, inaccurate, poorly reasoned editorial. It came out yesterday in the forum in USA Today, Hypocrisy and Gay Marriage. I thank God for live radio, because you got something on your heart. You can get it out and share it pretty quickly with everyone. But we're also doing a survey because of some of the statements in this editorial. So if you are a church-attending person in your congregation, when's the last time you heard a message on marriage, family? Would you say that's something that comes up regularly, annually? The pastor's teaching about that. You're doing Bible studies about it in your small groups, whatever it is. Or maybe a message about divorce. When's the last time you heard a message about divorce in your church? Does that come up? The sanctity of marriage, the wrongness of no-fault divorce, etc. And what about your young people, maybe your young person listening? Is there a strong emphasis on teen purity in your circles? 866-34-TRUTH. You don't have to tell me what church you go to, but I'd love to know what's happening in your circles. 866-348-7884. Are you hearing a lot about marriage? Or you think, man, see how marriage is under assault? We hardly hear it. We hear about finances and if we give, how God will bless us as we give. Or we hear about teaching about the return of Jesus, or teaching about election or predestination, or effective Bible study methods or things, but we are not hearing about marriage, about family. We almost never hear stuff about divorce. Or to the contrary, no, this is the stuff we're hearing about a lot. All right, back to the editorial, this next section called The Bible or the Constitution. When novelist Anne Rice declared this year that she was quitting Christianity, though remaining dedicated to Christ, in part because she refused to be anti-gay, it struck a nerve with many Christians. So just read that. I want to give you the context. Many complained that they weren't anti-gay, that they just opposed same-sex marriage because the Bible, they said, defines marriage as between a man and a woman. Yet we don't live in a theocracy. The Bible is not the governing legal document of the United States. The Constitution is. Again, this is a remarkably short-sighted statement. Let me tell you why. First thing, the Bible fueled a lot of the thinking of the framers of the Constitution, and that is part of our national heritage and part of some of the best qualities of America. Secondly, the Bible tells me a lot of things are wrong, and I also agree that those things are wrong, be it murder, be it rape, be it stealing, be it adultery, be it no-fault divorce. Okay, there are many things that Scripture says are wrong. I agree they're wrong, and to the extent that I can have an influence in society, to the extent that I can vote a certain way, I will do that. Now, an atheist may have certain views that are formed by their atheism. An agnostic might, a fundamentalist Christian, a fundamentalist Muslim, liberal Christian. Everybody's coming from their own background, and then you form your own decisions, and then you vote. So why is it that we are not allowed to form decisions based on what the Bible says? Why is it that you can form decisions if you're a secularist? You can form decisions if you're an atheist? You can form decisions if you're worshiping a million different gods? But if you happen to hold to biblical morality and biblical principles, that can't fuel your decision making. What kind of nonsense is that? Not only so, I do not just say that marriage should be between a man and a woman because it's in Scripture, although that's more than enough for me, but because it's the foundation of human society. Because when you start to tamper with that and start to redefine family, then you are tampering with the foundations of human society. And why, pray tell, to ask Kirsten Powers, why, pray tell, are we saying that marriage is for two people? Why are the polygamists wrong? There are a lot more polygamists than people fighting for same-sex marriage. Are you anti-polygamist? Are you a bigot against much of the world's culture and much of world's history? Why is marriage just two people? Please, based on what? Because the Bible says, based on what? She continues. Tuesday, for the first time in Iowa's history of electing judges, voters threw out three state Supreme Court justices for invalidating an Ohio law prohibiting same-sex marriage. It was a unanimous 7-0 decision based on the law, not ideology. What a novel idea. This was an inane decision. If you've read all of it or some of it as I have, the reasoning was trash. It is a shock that seven people who made it to be justices for their state could put out a decision unanimously that was so vacuous, that was so poorly reasoned, that took on arguments that were completely and totally irrelevant and tackled them wrongly and brought in religion. It was terrible. Those people deserve to be voted out for that very reason. And this sends a message, as I said earlier, that these issues are on people's minds. The $800,000 campaign to unseat them was led by Bob Vanderplatz, who ran unsuccessfully as the conservative Christian option in the Iowa governor's GOP primary when Focus on the Family's James Dobson, and he's no longer with Focus, of course, but known for that for decades, when Focus on the Family's James Dobson endorsed Platz, Dobson lauded Platz's Bible-based crusade against gay marriage. Yes, as a biblically-based thinker, according to this endorsement, he was saying, this is what I hold to. You're not allowed to hold to biblical values? A theocracy would be that we are trying to take over and enforce divine rule, like the Muslims in Iran under Ayatollah Khomeini. Okay, that we now say that Christianity is the state religion, and that we are enforcing that on everyone and requiring everyone to bow down to everything in the Bible and to believe in Jesus under penalty of death or something like that. That would be a theocracy. But when we're saying, you know, we find the wisdom of Scripture here and we see it lived out in our society and we are therefore standing up for what's right and we're voting, why is it? And $800,000, how much money did George Soros or how much money did other folks pour into various candidates in these years, either very liberal or anti-religious people or gay activists, multimillionaires that have poured in money strategically into certain areas to get certain people elected for certain reasons? Well, they can do that. If they're not breaking the law, they can do that. And in their mind, they're fighting for equality, tolerance. Some of them are doing it based on what Jesus is saying. So here's what's so amazing to me, is that Kirsten here is throwing Scripture at us to say that we should follow these biblical principles, but the moment the biblical principles differ with gay activism, oh, now you're doing the wrong thing. If a gay activist says, look, Jesus said, don't judge. Hey, quote that. Tell us about it. Amen. We love what Jesus said. If you get up and say, you know, Jesus said that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, that's the way it's been from the beginning. No, you're trying to have a theocracy. Isn't it fascinating? Isn't it fascinating? You know, it's wild that some people can focus on these issues, gay activists and their allies, day and night, and it's fine. And then when you say, you know, I take issue with this, that's because you're obsessed with homosexuality. No, others are obsessed with it. We're taking issue when it comes knocking at our door. She says, but if people really want to use the Bible as our governing legal document, then we need many constitutional amendments, including one that bans divorce, except in the very, very narrow circumstances the Bible permits it. This would be a tough one for evangelicals since their divorce rate is almost identical to that of atheists. This might explain why you don't see evangelical leaders pumping hundreds of thousands of dollars into campaigns to keep the government from providing divorce. Well, one thing is there are evangelicals I know that for years have been working against no-fault divorce. I was in a meeting with tens of thousands in California a few weeks back, and that was a major focus of prayer and a call for change in that way. But anyway, because we have a problem with divorce, we now throw dirt on the coffin by redefining marriage? I don't think so. We'll be back. We are doing some holy venting today on the Line of Fire. I am responding to one of the most poorly thought out, inaccurate editorials I've seen in a long time by Kirsten Powers. She may have a lot of great things to say on other subjects, but boy, she has absolutely missed this issue. It's an editorial that came out yesterday in USA Today, Hypocrisy and Gay Marriage. The institution of marriage, so sacred, so pure, so perfect, is in jeopardy because gay men and lesbians want in on the act. How silly, how arbitrary, how disconnected from the real world. Michael Brown, welcome back to The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. Number to call, 866-348-7884. And a question I'm just asking by way of survey. In your home church, would you say that you hear a lot of teaching about marriage and family? Another question, have you heard messages about divorce being wrong and the only cases where there might be biblical grounds for divorce? Do you hear much about that? What about teen sexual purity? Do you hear messages on that? Do young people talk about that? Maybe you're a young person listening, teenager. Maybe parents, you've got teenagers in youth groups. Is there an emphasis on teen sexual purity? Ask Dr. Brown.org. You can click on The Line of Fire to join in the discussion there. AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Also, if you missed the shows, you can subscribe by podcast there. So let me back up a little and read a paragraph. If people really want to use the Bible as our governing legal document, then we need many constitutional amendments, including one that bans divorce, except in the very narrow circumstances the Bible permits it. Let me also take issue with this on another level, okay? The reason we're talking about a constitutional amendment saying that marriage is the union of a man and woman is because people are attacking that. People are trying to redefine that. And it's often being taken out of the hands of voters, and it's being decided by activist judges. It's being decided by legislatures, and people can't even vote on it. Here in North Carolina, repeatedly, it gets shot down that we can't even vote on it. And now, who are the people fighting for same-sex marriage? The ones that believe it's right. And the ones who believe it will be a further step forward in advancing what they believe is equality and tolerance for gay and lesbian community. That's why they're doing it. And they have the right to legally here in America, and we have the right to legally say, no, you don't tamper with the foundations of society and family, namely marriage. And I'm going to go on and on for reasons for that, of course. So the whole point about the reason there's not a call for constitutional ban on divorce is because there's not an activist thing pushing forward more change, more open doors for divorce. That being said, probably the one point that I agree with in this entire editorial, of course, no-fault divorce is horrific, and it has brought all kinds of destruction on the family. And I've said this many times, I'll say it again, heterosexual divorce has done more to destroy marriage and family than all the gay activists in the world put together. And if not for heterosexual divorce destroying family the way it has, and those of you that have been through an agonizing divorce, those of you that were victims, you did everything you knew to keep a marriage together, even if there was adultery and unfaithfulness, or maybe you're being beaten and abused and you fought for your marriage, my heart goes out to you. I am not throwing condemnation on you, and God can rebuild and help and strengthen your life. But I want to say that the vast majority of divorce taking place in the church and in the world is unjustified, and in the church, unbiblical. Because of that, the door has been opened for further destruction of marriage through trying to redefine it. Why does this double standard and selective morality matter? Because it reinforces the idea among Christians that gay people are morally inferior and don't deserve to be treated fairly. Is bullying by teens that much of a stretch when you consider the same-sex marriage rhetoric? No. First, must we embrace homosexuality and homosexual practice? Must we embrace the goals of gay activism? Otherwise, we're going to be told that we have the blood of gay teens or those perceived to be gay in our hands. Is that what it's come to? That unless we embrace something that we believe is contrary to God's morality and ultimately not in the best interest of individuals or society, unless we embrace that and celebrate it, nurture it, and appreciate it, that the blood of gay teens is on our hands, what a horrific and an inaccurate charge. But can I take this further? Here, let's check this out. Watch this. A, B, C, D, is that spelling or math? Cat, C-A-T. dog, D-O-G. Was that spelling or was that math? That was spelling. Okay, how about this? 2 plus 2 equals 4. 3 plus 3 equals 6. 4 times 4 equals 16. Is that spelling or math? Okay, math. You all agree, right? Am I saying that math is better than spelling? Spelling better than math? No, no. Marriage. By marriage. Marriage. The union of a man and a woman. And it is the social institution that brings man and woman together. It is the primary means of procreation. It is the primary means to join children to a biological mother, father, etc., etc. That's what marriage is. If two men are doing something in private, that's consensual acts, that's between them and God. Two women, that's between them and God. The Bible clearly speaks against all sexual practice outside of marriage, which is only male, female. But that's not saying someone's inferior. It's simply saying, don't call what you are doing marriage. That's all. However much you love each other, don't call it marriage because it isn't. Evangelical superstar Rick Warren, of whom I'm a fan when he sticks to preaching the gospel, as if the gospel, by the way, could have no social implications, as if the gospel had nothing to do with morality. But to preach the gospel, don't deal with the slavery issue. Don't deal with freeing the slaves. Just preach the gospel, man. In another generation. Evangelical superstar Rick Warren, of whom I'm a fan when he sticks to preaching the gospel, said in an interview, "They can't accuse me of homophobia. I just don't believe in gay marriage." But then he went on to compare same-sex marriage to pedophilia and incest, so being gay is fine, just like it's fine to be a child molester. Come on, people. Okay, Kirsten, first, Rick actually retreated some from that statement, and second, you have to look at the context in which it came up, because I just got accused of that in a completely illegitimate context. Can I ask a question, Kirsten? Why is incest wrong? Just tell me why it's wrong. Why would you be outraged by incest? Let's not talk about pedophilia for a moment. We're all horrified by that and the child predator and all. But why is incest wrong? Well, how about between two brothers? They can't have kids, so there's not the issue of what happens to the kids. What's so wrong about it? I can tell you biblically it's wrong, and then I can give you social reasons, but if all I had was the Bible to tell me it's universally wrong, that's enough for me. So, Kirsten, why is it wrong? Just because society says so? Maybe society's outmoded, outdated. Hey, come on. In England, a guy always liked older women, runs into his grandmother that, you know, they haven't been together, and now they're in love, and it's wonderful. And how could society be so bigoted? He said, oh, that's gross. You're comparing a grandmother and a grandson to two men. Please tell me what's so outrageous about it. Aren't you being bigoted? Aren't you being intolerant? Aren't you just going by social, outdated social mores and standards? Come on. You know, what about the couple in Germany? He's been to jail now. They were, I think, same mother, different father, whatever, but never knew each other, separated all their lives, meet later in life, fall in love. They've had four kids. The government's taken two away. He's been to jail. They love each other. Incest laws are off the books in a number of European countries, considered to be antiquated, outdated. You know, you have a moral outreach about one thing based on what? You don't allow others to say something's morally wrong? That, to me, sounds like hypocrisy. So, Kirsten, you say to us, come on, people. Come on, Kirsten. Think about it. When's the last time you heard a sermon about divorce in your home church? Or how much are you hearing about marriage, the importance of marriage, family? Michael Brown responding today with passion to a horrifically reasoned, poorly, I mean, every level, factual, biblical reasoning, logical reasoning, just way off. USA Today was handed to me earlier today, and I said, this is what I'm going to focus on the show. Hypocrisy and Gay Marriage by Kirsten Powers, who is a freelance writer, political analyst on Fox News in USA Today, came out yesterday. I might write something in response, but right now I am getting it out, getting it off my chest, and thinking through these things with you here on the radio. 866-34-TRUTH. What about your home church? Are you hearing much about family, hearing about marriage, teen sexual purity? And you'll see this ties in with issues that are being raised here. Let me share a few of your responses. Vanessa, marriage and family, yes. Teen sexual purity, not so much. However, various teaching about teens yielding themselves and being obedient to parents is addressed. Catherine, yes, thankfully, But I do think many, if most churches are lacking in skilled ministers who can disciple people in these areas. Catherine, I think discipleship in general in the church remains a challenge in many ways, so it would be reflected here. But thankfully, though, you are hearing a lot about marriage, family. That's positive. Jesse, yes, we have quite a bit of teaching on marriage, but I'm sad to say it's very squishy teaching and marriages are crumbling. So again, this would be symptomatic of what's happening in the church. We're hearing about it, but not in an adequate way. Kevin, here's my question. Your home congregation, would you say that you hear a lot of teaching on marriage and family, against divorce, 14, sexual purity? Kevin, yes, I do. Pastor is always encouraging his flock, plus his 7 kids who are 12 and better, to be pure. On the other points, always. I'm asking that because you'd get the idea that all we talk about in our churches, homosexuality is bad. Those homosexuals are just bad people, and we just want to kill same-sex marriage. Actually, you don't hear about that much, but you do hear a lot about marriage, family. Okay, she continues in her editorial. If this movement isn't driven by anti-gay bigotry, then where is the outrage and day of truth over heterosexuals who are engaging in sex outside of marriage? Kirsten, there is no day of silence equivalent. The day of truth is to counteract the day of silence, which is gay activism in the schools. That's why it exists. And on the flip side, there are all kinds of teen purity movements. I don't know what world you're living in, Kirsten, but in the evangelical world, everywhere you turn, there are teen purity movements, sexual purity movements for teens. Why aren't Christians running around confronting their sexually active heterosexual co-workers and friends about their lives? Of course they are. We call it preaching the gospel, telling people don't go to the strip club, telling people pornography is wrong, telling people adultery is wrong, fornication is wrong. And we're preaching the gospel to all people, but we're not allowed, apparently, to preach it to homosexuals. I guess because there's no ick factor, she writes, to borrow a phrase former presidential candidate and Southern Baptist minister Mike Huckabee used recently to describe gay men and lesbians. This double standard might have something to do with the fact that many Christians also violate the Bible's condemnation about sex outside of marriage with impunity. I'm still waiting for the constitutional amendment banning extramarital sex. Extramarital sex is known as extramarital sex, and no one's trying to change the definition of marriage to include it. Except for the polyamorists who want to now make adultery fine, that you can have multiple relations with multiple partners as long as you're loving and consensual, be one big happy adulterous family. Kirsten, don't you think there is constant teaching, preaching about these issues? But then when we do, we're accused of being obsessed with sex. You get up and preach a message on sexual purity. Well, it must be because you're just struggling with it yourself. A few years ago, I attended a talk on the plague of pornography in our society in New York City Evangelical Church. At one point, a speaker asked the group of about 300 young Christians, how many of you are pursuing purity? About 10 people raised their hands. I guarantee you, I have no clue about what meeting you're at there, Kirsten, but I guarantee you, you go to 10,000 evangelical churches in America that are Bible-based evangelical churches. And you ask young Christians how many are pursuing purity, you're going to get the great bulk raising their hands. They may be struggling, but the great bulk will raise their hands. Has anyone noticed that there is this special little area carved out where the Bible's teaching must be enshrined in U.S. law, but only when it applies to others, that is gay people? Kirsten, we're talking about redefining the foundations of human society. We're talking about doing something that has never been done in the history of the human race. We're talking about doing something that when Americans have voted around the country, they've said no, marriage is the union of a man and a woman. We are not talking about enshrining the Bible's teachings. We are talking about common sense. We are talking about what's best for humanity. And we are also talking about our biblical convictions. And last time I checked, rape and murder were illegal and a host of other things were illegal. And many Christians fight against legalized gambling because they think that's destructive. Back with more. I'm looking at some very interesting comments on our Ask Dr. Brown page on Facebook. Michael Brown, welcome back to the Line of Fire. Just my final few minutes in responding to Kirsten Power's editorial in USA Today on hypocrisy and gay marriage, which is I've seen many bad editorials, but this is at the top of the list of one of the worst I've ever seen. I asked a question, again, to repeat it for you on Facebook. In your home congregation, would you say that you hear a lot of teaching on marriage and family, against divorce, for teen sexual purity? Daniel weighed in. Dude, almost every sermon deals with sexual purity in one way or another at the church where I used to go. Then he says, actually, all of the above, and I never heard one against homosexuality. And, by the way, there's an annual Day of Purity. Just got a note about that. And Valentine's Day, where Christians are taking a stand for sexual purity, going against the decadence in the culture. Kirsten says, it seems as if Christians have enough issues to deal with in their own community on the issue of promoting marriage. Perhaps Christian leaders such as Warren and Dobson should spend less time trying to prevent a tiny percentage of the population from having the right to marry and help Christians get their own house in order. Whereas Jesus warned, take the log out of your own eye before focusing on the speck in your neighbor's eye. Again, I find it remarkable that while she's bashing us for holding to biblical convictions, she's quoting scripture at us. Kirsten, do you realize the hypocrisy in doing that? I'm also trying to act on what Jesus said. And Jesus said to us as follows, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. As Dr. Martin Luther King said, the church must realize it's not the master of the state nor the servant of the state, but the conscience of the state. We have a moral responsibility to stand for marriage. And because we've got the roof falling in on heterosexual marriage doesn't mean that we don't get concerned when the windows start caving in. And when people come knocking at our door with gay activism and want to redefine marriage and all these other things, we will stand up for what is right. It's our moral responsibility because we love people and we love God. Can't we do both? Can't we, while standing for marriage, stand for it in a holistic way, saying we are fighting against no-fault divorce, we are fighting against adultery, or we are fighting against promiscuity, we're fighting against fornication, we're fighting against the objectification of women and the sexualizing of the internet and, you know, all the rampant trash that's out there, and we're holding to the foundations of marriage that's one man, one woman? Shouldn't we do all of the above as followers of Jesus? And shouldn't we recognize that once you start tampering with the definition of marriage, you're doing something that could even be more dangerous than divorce? Divorce is destroying the fabric of it. And now to redefine it on top of that? Treacherous, wrong, bad. And then to couch it that anyone that feels this way is somehow an anti-gay bigot. You know, Kirsten, you're sadly out of touch on this, and I'd love to talk to you about this. Maybe you'll even get to listen to this show. You got to share your view. I got to share mine. So, in this last minute, let me give you my bottom line. Friends, it remains time for us to wake up. It remains time for us to get our own house in order. And in that, I agree with the USA Today editorial. And that's where I've spent most of my energy and passion for decades as a believer in the Lord, looking to live my life in a way that pleases him, encouraging those around me to do so, and challenging those who are not to turn to God. And because I believe in holistic morality, because I don't pick and choose, it is incumbent on me, it's incumbent on you to stand for everything that's right. If you love God, you love people also. If you stand for marriage, then you stand for children. If you stand for marriage, you stand against those forces that seek to erode it. That being said, people are coming from a radically different viewpoint, and we're just going to have to sit with them and love them and get past the rhetoric and get past the misunderstanding and get involved in their lives, because we've been branded, and changing our public stance ain't going to change anything. It's by getting involved with people one-on-one, sitting with them face-to-face, letting them hear your heart, know who you are, that can touch them and change them. And through that, they can see Jesus. AskDrBrown.org. Tons of resources for you that will help you and equip you. Back with you tomorrow.